Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what a marvelous reading this is that we have before us today. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the prophet Isaiah has written this beautiful poetry full of images of God's grace and mercy to us, his people. One of the images that stands out most in this reading is that of a dry, burning, desolate wasteland of desert that by the power of God miraculously bursts forth with plants and trees, and bubbling springs and pools form in the burning sands of the desert. Have any of you ever been to a place with a desert climate? Perhaps in the western part of the United States, or perhaps some of you have even traveled somewhere in the Middle East, Egypt, or the Holy Land. As I was reading this chapter from Isaiah, I thought about a city of Dunhuang in northwestern China that Sherry and I went to with David when he was just 1 year old, which is why he didn't remember in our children's message that he had been to a desert before. Dunhuang is a natural oasis like I showed the children in that picture. Though the region of northwestern China that surrounds that city is very dry and desert-like, Dunhuang has natural springs and pools of water that cause that area to be full of lush vegetation. And as a result, that made it one of the main stopping points along the ancient Silk Road that connected China to Central Asia and the Middle East and even Europe. But the surrounding towering sand dunes that are all around the city of Dunhuang, that are part of the larger Gobi Desert in northwestern China, have been creeping closer and closer to the city at a rate of 13 feet per year. Residents who live on the outskirts of the city have been trying for years to stop the growth and the influx of the desert. Some of them have planted rows of trees along the edge of the city to try to stop the encroachment of the desert, hoping that the roots of the trees will strengthen the ground so that the desert can't take it over. But their efforts have proven futile, as the desert has still crept along and ended up killing most of those trees that were planted. Now the desert is right on the edge of the city, and very soon some parts of that city will only be a memory, replaced by the parched, dry, burning sand of the desert dunes. Brothers and sisters in Christ, like that oasis city of Dunhuang, we are also surrounded by a desert, by a wilderness of sin and temptation that threatens to overwhelm us. But as we examine our reading today, we focus on the great comfort that God promises through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Do not be afraid. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. He will come to save you." That picture of a desert is a very strong comparison for the condition of the human heart by nature. From birth, by our sinful nature, all people's hearts were dead, dry, lifeless, with conditions so harsh that they are not at all conducive to life. That was the condition of our hearts before God came to us with a message of his saving love and forgiveness through Jesus. When God came to us with that message of Jesus who died to forgive our sins, or in the waters of baptism that are connected with that message, he caused that lifeless, dry, desert soil of our hearts to bloom with the new life of faith in Jesus as our Savior. When we heard that gospel message of how God loved us so much that he gave up his own Son to save us, God's action in our hearts through that message was just as miraculous as the words that Isaiah pictures in our reading today. Those words of waters flowing forth in the desert, streams in the wilderness. Through that living water of God's word, God causes faith to spring up and to grow in our lives, like plants, trees, and flowers that blossom in the oasis of a desert. God's love inspires us to love him in return, to praise and glorify him for all the great things that he has done to save us. God's love inspires us to serve him by serving other people around us in our lives. And it inspires us to share with all people this message of his love and salvation, that message which turns burning deserts into lavish gardens. But as Isaiah says, sometimes hands become weak and knees become feeble, and sometimes our hearts are filled with fear. The burning desert of the sinful society around us is as harsh and dangerous a place for us to live as the middle of a desert. There are many influences in society that try to lead us away from God's word. The devil assaults us with temptation, as in the blazing heat of a desert that causes hallucinations. The devil and his temptations also cause us to chase after mirages of false and fleeting pleasures. And the sinful nature that is still within us is constantly working to undermine our faith in God, until sometimes we finally give in to those temptations that are all around us. Our hands grow weak, our knees give way, and we fall headlong into the burning desert sand of temptation and sin. We're all too familiar with how that happens in our lives. Often it is the very same temptations and sins that we struggle with again and again in our lives. We tell ourselves that we're never going to commit that sin again, but then the temptation grows, and then we give in. Perhaps we hear a bit of embarrassing news about a friend or a colleague, and although we know that we should just put it out of our minds and forget about it, we just can't resist gossiping about it to someone else. Or we might see a sexually suggestive image on TV or on the internet, and instead of putting it out of our minds and fleeing that temptation like we know we should, instead we give in to temptation and fill our minds with all kinds of lustful thoughts. Or perhaps if we have some achievement at work or at school, we give in to the temptation to pride in ourselves and in our great work instead of giving the glory to God. So when we hear in this reading from Isaiah about God coming with vengeance and his retribution, we may naturally be somewhat fearful at that prospect. Our consciences condemn us. We know that because of our sins, we deserve nothing good from God. In fact, we deserve his vengeance and his retribution, the wrath of his punishment against sin. But Isaiah says, "Be strong. Do not be afraid. Look, your God will come with vengeance, with God's own retribution." If we are feeling guilty for our sins, that thought of God coming with vengeance is terrifying for us. And in fact, if we look at Isaiah chapter 34, just before the words of our reading, we see terrible graphic descriptions of how that judgment of God will play out upon the earth. Pictures of ground soaked with the blood of those who are killed for their sins of rebellion against God. Images of the bodies of the dead piled high, and the land burning with a fire that will never go out. How can those images bring us comfort? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the comfort comes from knowing that this vengeance and retribution of God will not come upon us, because it has already been suffered in our place by Jesus, the Anointed One, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. That is the full message of Isaiah's comfort to us. The final part of verse 4 in our reading says this: "Be strong, Do not be afraid. Look, your God will come with vengeance. With God's own retribution, he will come to save you. We see God's righteous judgment and his unfailing love for the people he has created, reconciled on the cross where Jesus died. God demanded sacrifice and the shedding of blood as payment for sins, for the sins of rebellion against him and disobedience of his commands. But he loves us so much that he was not willing to see that punishment carried out on us. So instead, he placed it all upon himself. In our place, Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He willingly gave himself up in order to suffer that punishment for our sins in our place. He suffered the divine retribution of God for the sins of all mankind when he suffered and died on the cross. Just like in the Old Testament on the great Day of Atonement, that scapegoat who was sent out into the wilderness to die with the sins of the people of Israel upon it, Jesus was similarly abandoned by God the Father, forsaken by him because of our sins. But at his resurrection on the third day, Jesus rose victorious to proclaim his victory over sin and death, to assure us that we too will rise from the dead. In this Advent season of the church year, we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord Jesus. We prepare for the celebration of Christmas when we commemorate the birth of Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of the world, the Son of God who humbled himself to be born in the flesh. In our reading, Isaiah prophesies some of the miraculous things that the Messiah would do during his life and ministry. He says, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongues of the mute will sing for joy." And in the Gospels, we see Jesus miraculously doing all of those things. He does that as proof that he is the Messiah whom God promised for centuries through his prophets. And Jesus pointed to those signs as testimony that he is that Messiah whom God promised. When John the Baptist was languishing in Herod's prison and wondering if Jesus was in fact the one, Jesus assured him by reminding him of these words of the prophet and reminding John of all the ways that Jesus had fulfilled those prophecies. Even though the entire circumstances of Jesus' ministry were not exactly what John was expecting. These miraculous signs are also pictures of the new life of faith that is created in the hearts of the forgiven sinner. Before God saved us through the waters of baptism and his word, we were also spiritually blind and deaf and lame. But when God came to us through the message of forgiveness of sins through Jesus, he gave us faith to trust in him. And then we came alive spiritually, just like a dry, burning desert that blossoms into a garden of lush plants and flowers. God opens our eyes and our ears to know and to believe his love and forgiveness. He opens our mouths to sing his praises and to tell others of his great salvation. And he strengthens our hands to work for him and for each other in love and thanksgiving to him for his great mercy and salvation. He strengthens our knees, which grow weak. And he sets us there on a highway through the wilderness, a highway that is bound for the city of Zion, his heavenly kingdom. As we read in this section of our prophecy from Isaiah about a highway through the wilderness and feeble knees, I can't help but think about one grueling race that I was foolish enough to enter during my vicar year in Hong Kong. It was a 100-kilometer hiking race across the rugged hill territory in the northern part of Hong Kong. I joined together with some of the other church members of our sister church in Hong Kong, and it took us 38 hours to complete that hike. We had various other church members who came and met us at various points along the trail to give us some hot noodle soup and water and other assistance along our way. But finally, in the end, as much help as we had, it was still our tired and weak and sore knees and feet that finally had to do the walking if we were going to finish that race. But the way of holiness in our reading from Isaiah that God prophesies and talks about is not at all like that. We do not reach the goal of heaven by our own strength and effort, by pushing along and being persistent. Rather, it is only because of the holiness of Jesus that God gives to us, that we are even permitted to walk on that path to heaven. It is God who has given us faith, and it is God who finally brings us to the end of our journey of faith, to the gates of heaven. If we relied on our own strength, we would have stumbled and wandered off that path and given up long ago. But God strengthens us and sustains us through his word and sacraments. And by those means of grace, he even carries us along the way when we are too weak and feeble to continue ourselves. So this Advent season, we look forward not only to the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas, but we also look forward to the second coming of our Savior Jesus on the Day of Judgment. As we look forward to that second coming, let us remember Isaiah's message to us. Do not be afraid. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, but he will come to save you. So let's look forward with confidence and expectation to that day when Jesus will come again at the end of our earthly journey and bring us to the gates of heaven. Then, as the prophet says, we will come to Zion singing, and everlasting joy will be on our heads. We will obtain happiness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So when the desert of temptation and sin in this life threatens to overwhelm you, let this message of God's love and salvation strengthen you and keep you firm in faith until that day when God calls you to your eternal home of heaven with him. God has promised it, and he will do it.